Henry. Father, we thank you for Henry. We thank you for who he is in you and how you would speak the words that you have given him. Father, we pray that anything else might be stripped away, that we wouldn't remember it. But we pray that our ears, our minds, our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say. Amen.
Good morning, church. Thanks, Alan. Good morning, church. I think let's start by standing up. Would you mind standing up? Thank you. Now you may sit down. And I wonder how many of you thought when you were sitting down, I wonder if this chair is going to hold me up. I wonder if it's going to maybe fall apart when I sit down on it. How many of you did that? I didn't when I sat down. I must say these chairs are low, so for somebody my height, when I sit down, I plonk down. And even then, it supports me. The last time that you flew on a plane, how many of you have flown on planes? This thing that weighs so many hundreds of tons, how's it going to get into the air? And I hope it's going to stay up there. My son-in-law, Brett, is flying back from Spain this morning. Tanya tells me that he's one of those that says, because he's a scientist, he tries to work out these things of aeronautics and so on. But I don't think there's many of us who actually wonder that. You know, when I was sitting there just now, during the songs of worship, during the words that were coming out, during the welcoming of the new members, I thought, you know, I can just stand up and say amen. And that is it, because I believe that there's been a sermon preached about faith this morning in so many ways. And I'm just hoping that we, and I know that we have taken in what God has been saying, and as we've worshiped him and recognized who he is, that God has already begun to talk to our hearts about the issue of faith. We've also, I suppose, over many years, placed our faith in other things, in friends, in work, in relationships, in marriages. And isn't it true that sometimes chairs may fail? I was at a fast food restaurant, and this guy sat down, and he wasn't as big as what I am, and he sat on this plastic chair, and I can still picture it, and the legs just went out under him. So chairs sometimes do fail. I'm not saying every time you sit down you must sort of pray for faith in it or anything like that. And if you're going to fly, the last thing you want to do is watch that program, Aircraft Investigations, where they investigate why planes crash, because sometimes they do. Hardly ever, but they do. And with relationships as well, and with work partnerships and marriages, sometimes those fail. People let us down. But what does faith in God mean? We've been talking about that. We've been singing about his faithfulness. What do you understand? And this is actually a question that I'm looking for an answer from you. What does faith in God mean to you? Some hands. And there was silence. Okay, that's almost a biblical thing. But right, it's having faith that even in the unseen that he is faithful. Come, others? Yep. Yeah. That's the word that I'm looking for. Trust. Hans? Yeah. Because he says that we walk by faith and not by sight. And faith is that eternal view that we are having and not looking at the circumstances around us, because quite often they let us down. And so we're going to be talking about that. Bible tells us also, have faith in God. There can't be a more forthright scripture on the issue of faith. It just simply says, have faith in God. Why? Because he's not going to let us down. Because he is faithful. And I think that that is not so much our faith, but the faithfulness of God that we can depend on. Can somebody turn, and we're going to really do a Bible study this morning on faith. And we're going to be looking especially at, and there was a prayer earlier on, how to grow our faith. And this is what we really want to be looking at. Can somebody turn to that chapter in Hebrews, chapter 11, which is the famous chapter on faith? And I want somebody please to read out Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Because while you're looking for that, sorry. Oh, you got it already. You're gonna read it now. While you're looking for that, remember what it says also in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So why do we need faith? Because it is impossible to please God without faith. What does it say, Nick? You almost said that earlier on, but that's true. We can depend on him that he is not going to fail us. And as I said earlier on, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it says that we live by faith. And that's how God wants us to live, by faith and not by sight. In other words, not allow the things, but that we put our faith in him. So over the last couple of weeks, we have used 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13, and 14 as the text for the sermons on the gifts of the Spirit. Last week, Jess spoke to us about words, and we've had words of discernment. We've had on tongues, we've had on all the other gifts. So if you don't mind turning with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 7. So 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 7, and it is that scripture that we've been talking about that deals with all of the gifts of the Spirit. Did I say 11? 12 from verse 7, thanks. So people are awake. Somebody's got the audio. Okay, I'm just going to read through that. And we've heard this several times. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given through the Spirit. Sorry. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. But let me take a step back for a moment, and we go to Ephesians, and you don't have to turn to it, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, where it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, so that no one can boast." So each one of us has received a measure of faith when we have been saved. But we read just now in one of the verses that to another is given faith by the same Spirit. And this concerned me a bit, you know, believing that we have all received faith. And I wondered about this. And so I spoke to one of our Bible scholars. And I said, you know, how do you see what God is saying here? I had an idea of what it was, but I needed to hear what he believed that God was saying. And he went and researched it and came back to me. This is Stephen. And Bible scholars are of the same view that what is spoken about in that verse, in verse 9 of chapter 12, is that to another is given that extra measure of faith to carry out or to exercise the gifts that are spoken about in chapter 12. And so you have that extra measure of faith. And when we were praying earlier on, there were prayers that were uttered, "Lord, increase our faith. Lord, grow our faith." And that gave me an assurance of what God was saying. So it is clear from that text and from what was being prayed earlier on and other portions of Scripture that even as we sit here, there are different levels of faith. And you know, when I read that particular verse and what it means about getting that additional measure of faith, I picked my hand up and I said, "Lord, please me. Please include me in that." And that, I believe that's what we have got to be desiring, is to have that increase in faith, to have our faith grow, and that we don't remain at the same place. And I was thinking about that parable that Jesus used about the master who gave his servants different talents. Remember it? And some went out and used it, and the one guy buried it. And what happened? When the master came back, he expected to see an increase. And he blessed those that where there was an increase. But the one buried it, and he said, "You unfaithful servant." And so God is, you know what amazes me about this is, that scripture says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God goes and gives us as a gift the faith that we need to please him. I mean, that blows a person's mind, that I don't have to do anything to gain this faith. He gives me the wherewithal already, but he doesn't want me to stay where I was when he first gave it to me. He expects there to be an increase. Why? So that I, and it's for the common good. Do you remember it said at the end of growing faith verses that to bless others so that it is for the common good, not just for my good. And there's so many places in Scripture where he talks about that, where he talks about little faith. And it's one of the things that we're going to be reading now. There's a couple of texts in Matthew. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30. And when he's talking here about the whole issue of worry and being anxious. And in verse 30, he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? And that was during the Sermon on the Mount when he was talking to the crowds. And he's saying, you of little faith. And let's go on and look at Matthew 8, verse 23 to 28. And it's about Jesus being in that boat with his disciples, and the storm came up, and they panicked, and they went to him. And it starts off, then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. And as I say, the winds came up, and the waves, and so on, and they went, and they woke him up. And he replied in verse 26, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? So Jesus was concerned about faith growing as well. Otherwise, he would not have spoken to his disciples of being of little faith. Another version says, your faith is small. And I'm trusting God is not saying that to us. And that if that is where we are at the moment, and I think the call went out when Tony said earlier, and Heather as well, if we find ourselves at that place where we believe that we are not believing strongly enough for God to perform amazing things in our lives, then it's a perfect opportunity for us to come at the end of the service and come to the elders and say, you know, I'm asking for an increase in faith. I'm asking for God that I may be able to trust him for whatever major thing there is in your life that you are wanting him to perform. I told you it's going to be a bit of a Bible study. Does somebody have 2 Thessalonians? Chapter 1 and verse 3. I seem to have lost my place there. Please read it, Pam. Thank you, Pam. Whose version says that your faith is growing more and more? And yeah, that is God's desire for us, that our faith will grow more and more. Wherever our faith is today, that is his desire for us. Remember we said at the beginning, without faith, it is impossible to please God. But as we step out in greater faith, we really do please him in how we live. So, how do we strengthen our faith? How do we grow our faith? What is it that we do? We heard earlier on also that we are saved by grace through faith, and it's not by works. So there's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor. There's nothing that we can do. Good works is not going to get us into heaven. But we're going to talk about that just now, as well as it talks about it in James. So how do we? I recently read a book by an American pastor and theologian. His name is Michael Todd. I don't know if anybody has read that book. and it's called Crazy Faith. And I was interested when I went to the bookshop and I saw this title, and I wanted to know, what is he saying about crazy faith? And in it he says that crazy faith is only crazy until it happens. Think about that. It is only crazy. What's another word for crazy?
Impossible.
It's only impossible until it happens. And I, you know, he obviously says quite a bit about it, but so we may trust God for something that may seem impossible or crazy, whether it's in any of the areas that I spoke about earlier, family, financial matters, study, healing, all of those things. It's only crazy and impossible until it happens. And you know, one of the things that I realized in going through this is the faithfulness of God is what matters most. It is his faithfulness. He doesn't depend on my faith alone. It's his faithfulness to me. So what are you, each one of you, what are you trusting God for? What thing in your life are you trusting God for? Just think about that for a moment. In those areas that I've spoken about, family relationships, marriages, finances, what big step of faith? When we were counseling the other day, Renee and I, one of the things we said to the lady that we are counseling as we ended off the session is that she needs to take the first step of faith in order to be healed from the things that she is battling with. We need to be taking that first step of faith. And you know what? God is going to come to meet us. He won't just leave us there. He will come to meet us, and we will be able to do those things that we are trusting him for. So what is there in your life that you are trusting God for? We heard earlier, sometimes we trust God for an answer to prayer, and he answers, but not in the way that we expected him to answer. How many times has that happened to you? It's happened to me many times, where he answers in a different way. And so, as I said earlier, there are many levels of faith among us here. The one that I like, and Michael Todd talks about it also, is about baby faith. We all know a baby or a little child will stand on a table or on a cupboard and throw himself or herself into your arms, not for a moment believing that you're going to step aside and let them fall on the floor. They trust implicitly. And that is what baby faith is. Excuse me. And there's a couple of places in Scripture where it's not referred to as baby faith, but the faith the size of a mustard seed. One of the things that I realize is that baby faith, if it's the size of a mustard seed, can be very powerful. I mean, because he says that you can say in two places. The one he says, a mulberry tree cast into the sea, and it'll be cast. And you can say, cast into the sea, and it'll be cast. And then he says in another place, even bigger, you can say to this mountain, be cast into the sea, and it'll happen. What mountain is there in your life that you are trusting God to be thrown into the sea? Think about that for a moment. What is it that we are trusting God as we walk
this walk of faith. Sometimes they are mountain sized. Sometimes they are mulberry tree sized. But sometimes they are the size of mountains. And we need to be trusting God, and you know, that we can take that great leap of faith. So maybe sometimes it's the first big step of faith that we're going to be taking. So I'm just going to touch on a couple of issues. When we say, how do you strengthen your faith? And for those of you who go to the gym, I've heard somebody once described faith as being like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the bigger and stronger it grows. And we've got to be trusting God for that. So how do we do that? The first obvious way is we hear that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it is by reading and studying the Scriptures that we are able to grow our faith. That is the first and most important, and it's in Romans 10, 17, where we can find that. And so we need to be studying the Scriptures, and as we do so, it helps us to keep our eyes fixed on Him who is the author and finisher of our faith. As we look to Him and not look to the mountain, but look to Him and know that He is able, He is more than able. You know, when I listened to some of the worship songs this morning, be it Daniel and the fourth person in the fire and so many other places, the faithfulness of God just keeps on coming through, and how God is able to meet us even when we have these major challenges, He is able to do that. Secondly, when we talk to Him, our prayer, when we pray, we are obviously getting to know more about the character of God, His reliability, and we are able, His Word, the more we talk to Him, the worthy God He is. And the more we read His Word, the more we talk to Him, the more we learn that. And that is where I really am grateful for the Bible in a Year and how we are able in that to get to know more about this God that we have faith in, and see how He is so trustworthy. And so we are encouraged both to increase in our time of prayer and our time of Bible reading as well. And as we do that, we become, as I said, we become more Christ-like in our faith. And then the next two from Philippians chapter 4, which is one of my favorite chapters, and if you'll turn with me to that, Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 says, rejoice in the Lord always. It is so difficult for your faith to grow if you have no joy in your life. And joy comes from Him. And so as you trust Him, and there's that scripture that says, in His presence there is fullness of joy. And we need to be stepping out and enjoying, and it must be a joy. Alan asked us this morning, why are we here this morning? And it's got to be a joy for us to be not just in church, but to be together. So the other thing that I want to talk about, together with joy and prayer, is being in communion. Because being a Christian on our own is a very, very difficult thing. And God gives us each other to increase our joy. And there's the next one in chapter 4, where it talks about peace. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, again, there's prayer, and thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So his peace and his joy enable us to grow our faith as we seek his peace and his joy more in our life. Our faith is able to grow. And then we need to imitate heroes of faith. And if we look at Hebrews 11 and all of the heroes of faith that are listed there, and Heather spoke about Daniel this morning as being one of those heroes, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and so many others. And I encourage you, read that chapter 11 of Hebrews, and it is so full of heroes of faith who we should be emulating their trust and their faith in God. But I'm sure you all know of some recent or current heroes of faith as well. And one of those, I believe, is Mother Teresa. We've all heard of her and what she did in India and the great work that she did among the very poor in India. And she is an amazing hero of faith. And there's also Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if any of you have heard of him. He's a German a German theologian and pastor who lived during the time of the Second World War. And he spoke strongly against Hitler to the extent that the German government, forbade him from teaching in public. And when he wouldn't listen, they threw him in prison. But even when he was in prison, he preached to the prisoners. And so they put him in a concentration camp. And he continued there, and then they decided to execute him at the age of 39. A hero of faith who, despite the mountains that were there, he was prepared to continue to proclaim the word of God. And I'm sure you know in your own circles and maybe even around the world, you may know of other heroes of faith as well. And we are called to imitate them because they are imitating God. Their faith is something that we have got to emulate. And then James talks about faith without works is dead. And if we read in James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17, and again, my markers have moved. James chapter 2, verse 14. And it says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds?" Now, remember what we said in one of the first verses that we looked at from Ephesians, that we are saved by grace through faith and not through works. And the important thing when we read are the fruit of the Spirit. So we have faith in God, which reveals itself in the deeds that we do, which is the fruit of the Spirit. So the deeds themselves will not save us. But he's saying, if you say you have faith and nothing, and you do nothing with that faith, he says, well, of what value is that? How is that going to be for the common good? And he goes on to say, suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says, go in peace and keep warm and well fed, how is that going to help that person? Unless we step out in faith and do something about what we are seeing there. And lastly, I want to say, if we look at Luke 17, verse 5, where the disciples say to Jesus, increase our faith. They ask him, please help us to grow our faith. And this is what I'm saying, we need to, wherever we are today, whatever our situation is, our prayer needs to be to him, Lord, please increase my faith. So as we tie this up, and I just look at those headings that I've spoken about studying the scriptures, about being faithful in prayer and in getting together. Acts chapter 2 talks about us being faithful in prayer and in fellowship. And so it's prayer and fellowship, and about rejoicing always, and about seeking the peace of God, and about imitating the heroes of faith, about exercising our faith that we may grow in faith, and lastly, to be praying that God would increase our faith. And so as we tie up, it is important in this work of faith to remember, as I've said a number of times, the amazing faithfulness of God. He gives us this gift of faith, which we need in order to please him. I mean, we cannot expect any more from him. And maybe we should reflect for a moment on the many times in your life when God has been faithful. Think about that. Recall many answered prayers in your life. I can do. I can do that. That you've had in your life. I know I can do that. Recall the many moments of divine intervention where God has come in. I remember you were talking about traveling the one day and God intervened through one of your children. I mean, there's so many incidents of godly intervention in our lives. Remember all of these. These are all signs of his faithfulness. And trust that he will continue to be faithful in your life, because he will. And if you earnestly seek him, he will help you to grow your faith. Let's bow our heads in a moment for prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to grow our faith as we are reminded of your faithfulness that never fails. Give us increased faith so that we can please you in every aspect of our lives. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and not on the mountains in our lives. Our trust is in you alone. Amen.